together I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He must increase, but I must decrease. Thank you. You may be seated. Two of the last three not I but Christ messages have been about lies we believe. The first was the lie that I can't change my life. I'm where I'm at. I'm stuck here. And like an alcoholic or an addict, it can't get worse. It can't get better. It can only get worse. And that was lie number one. I have this little sign in my office that states, and I quote it, and people get mad at me from time to time, but I make a statement, it is what it is. And I've added to that statement, but it doesn't have to stay that way. It is what it is, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Folks, we have a miracle-working God, and he can help. He can change the most dire, bizarre, unbelievable circumstances and people. Amen? I mean, he can. And we as Christians need to believe that and live that way. Last week, I started down a path of lie number two. I got this. We sometimes believe as followers that we can dabble in sin. We can dabble with temptation. We can have flirtatious situations at work and different places and say to ourselves, I got this. I can do this. We even make statements like, I would never do what so-and-so done. I got this. We know from time to time that's not true. Yet, I can tell you it is heart-wrenching to watch good, well-meaning, confident Christians fall prey to the unthinkable, fall prey to the unimaginable, to the schemes of the enemy, of Satan. No way I could have known, but when I left here last week, I got an email, and I cried all afternoon about one of the premier pastors in this country. I still cry. It breaks my heart that he was having marital problems and fell prey to alcohol abuse. And he's had to step down as pastor of his church. It's just heart-wrenching. You don't got it. You can't handle it. So this morning, I'm going to go back to that same message, and I'm going to take a different route, and you'll understand in a minute. I took the route last week of I got this when it comes to dabbling with sin. You know what Maps is on your phone. It gives you two routes, you know. One's this way, the big dark blue one, and then it'll give you an alternate route that's similar and get you to the same place. I'm going an alternate route with I got this morning. Because what about when it is a trial, something you don't have any control over, instead of a temptation? What about when it's, this God allows something, I guess, something that you have no control over, something you can't handle, and you've been placed in circumstances that are bigger than us. And here's the lie. People will tell you God will not give or put you or put on you or put you in situations that you can't handle. That's a lie. Yes, he will. He will put you in places and situations that you cannot handle. And you say, no, preacher, the Bible states he won't place more on you than you can bear. I know what the Bible says, but I'm telling you, yes, he will. And let me explain. Sunday evening, June the 6th, 1982. God help me to get through this. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting on the front row, just about where I sat here, on the same side of the church, looking at my sermon notes, getting ready to preach an evening service. I was the assistant pastor at Abundant Life Baptist Church. The pastor was out of town, and I was doing what Michael would be doing. I was going to speak that evening as assistant pastor and youth director. Our sound man, who was in a room back in the back where the phone in our office was, walks from the back of the sanctuary up to me and walks in front of me, and he's white as a ghost. And I could tell by the look on his face that there was something bad wrong. He was the police chief there in Proctorville, and nothing fazed him. I seen him literally take a whatever that club is that they use and bust the back window out of a car one time and drag a kid out by the hair of his head that was holding a gun. And he was just rock hard, but he was tears was weeping even as he told me. He said, preacher, you got a phone call you need to come and take. And it was about 15 minutes before the service was supposed to start. I noticed as I got up to walk out to go back in the back to take that phone call that my mother wasn't there yet. I'd had my back to everybody that evening and just sitting there looking at my sermon notes. My grandmother wasn't with her, and, you know, when you see something like that unfolding, that a lot of things went through my mind. It was just running wild, a wreck. Someone hurt. Pastor and his family had been in an accident. They were on their way back from Myrtle Beach. I just, you know, you could go on and on and on about what run through my mind in that 1 minute walk back through that sanctuary. On the other end, when I got the phone in my hand, was a family member who told me that while preparing to come to church that evening, that my grandmother had passed away in my mom's bathroom and that I needed to come home immediately. I was ready to preach. It was by now at this time about 5 minutes before seven, and I was the only pastor there. At that time, there was four of us that were full-time staff at that church, and everybody was gone on vacation but me. As it proceeded, the worship started, the singing, the piano started to play, and the organ, and more than you can bear. Gary Gillette, our sound man, looked at me and he said, what do you want me to do? We were standing back in a private office, and by this time he was sobbing. I was crying and sobbing, and there was hundreds of people out in the sanctuary, and he said, you can't handle this, what are you going to do? And I looked him in the eyes, and I said, Gary, we're going to kneel at that couch right there. and you are going to pray for me, and the service goes on as planned because those people out there are depending on me, and someone's life may be in the balance this evening of heaven or hell. And he made a statement that I'll never forget. He grabbed me, and I've only been grabbed that way one other time. Our good friend. But he grabbed me in a bear hug. And he said, "Preacher, I don't have that kind of prayer life. I don't have that kind of power to pray for you in this kind of a situation." And I said, "Well, we're going to pray anyhow. And you pray and I'll pray." And we knelt at that couch. And our prayer was very simple. And it started, I remember it. I could pray it right now. I could live it. I told her, I said, "God, I don't understand you. I can't do this. My grandmother raised me. We stayed with her all summer and every weekend because my mother worked." I said, "She gave me the Bible that I hold in my hand. It's the one I just served communion with. And I asked why now." And every one of us sitting in this room has had moments where we look to God and say, "I can't do this. I can't do this." God will place on you more than you can handle, but not more than he can handle through you and for you. So where did we get this lie? Where did we get the lie? Because the truth is, we say, God helps those that will help themselves. No, God helps those that can't help themselves. And the fact of the matter is, God allows circumstances in our lives to build us, to strengthen us, to grow us. And I'm not talking about immorality like I did last week. I'm not talking about temptation. God does not tempt us to sin. God gives a way of escape from sin. And you can't say to God or to anyone else, "I didn't have a choice when it comes to sin." Because yes, you do always have a choice, and you always have a way of escape when it comes to sin. However, there are times when you don't have a choice. Those of you sitting in this room didn't have a choice in cancer. Those of you sitting in this room that have family members with dementia or have passed away from Alzheimer's, you didn't have a choice in that situation. You don't have a choice in the death of a grandmother, as I did. You don't have a choice in the death of a spouse. You don't have a choice in the death of a child or death of a grandchild. You didn't choose when, as the young lady last night that we've had one call for, you don't choose when it comes to accidents. It's my understanding there was people killed in that accident in the other vehicle. You don't have a choice in those type situations. And you don't have a choice when it comes to a cheating spouse. And you didn't have a choice when it comes to an addiction in your life, maybe, or a child with an addiction. And you didn't choose the mess or maybe the heavy burden that you carried into this room this morning. You didn't have a choice. And there's people that are not here because they're bitter at God over what circumstances of that not having a choice has caused in their life. You see, we have a messed up sense that it is God's desire just to make us happy. And all of life is going to be rosy. I'm supposed to have a new car. I'm supposed to have this great job. I'm supposed to have great grades if I'm in school. I'm supposed to get a new mate whenever the first one fizzles and I can move on to the next one. This prosperity gospel that we think as Americans, and yet that's not God's goal for you. It's not God's goal always for you to just live life in a dream world. It's God's goal for you to die daily. It's God's goal for you to surrender your life, not from your will, but His will. It's God's goal for you to be Christ-like, to love people. It's God's goal for you to win people to Christ personally, not just the church or us as the preacher. It's God's goal for you to be a witness at work. It's God's goal for you to spread the good news of Jesus. I've heard people say, I don't deserve what's happening to me. No, you deserve worse, as do I. If we got what we deserve, we would all be in hell right now. And God's not going, I've heard folks say, God's not going to allow me to go through that in life. Are you kidding yourself in all other areas or just that one? God will never allow the church to endure that. Oh, really? God wouldn't do that to the church. Tell that to the disciples. What God will allow you to go through and the deaths that they went through. Do you know how many Christians die annually this year because they're believers? I've seen statistics this week. 150,000 Christians will be murdered this year, put to death throughout the world. We're sheltered in this country and we don't even realize it. But 150,000 believers are killed every year on this planet because they believe in Jesus Christ. We in America have believed a lie that God will not place on us more than we can handle. So what do you do if that's the truth? I could go on and on and on, but what do you do? And here's the message. This is the passage, and I've read it. Michael will tell you, I quote it to people at the hospital. I quoted at funerals. I quoted it yesterday. But I saw something last week that I never saw before in this passage. And I want you to see it also. And I've got it in NIV this morning because it's very plain. It's the language we speak. It's a very long passage, but I want to read it, and it starts in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. Apostle Paul is speaking. It says, I'll just let him read it to you. I'll read what he wrote. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God and Timothy our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received. Now, there's what I always quote. You have problems, God's your comfort, and then you take the way you were comforted and comfort others with it. Learn from your mistakes, and or learn from how God helped you through a set of circumstances, and then comfort people. And so it goes on to say, who comforts us in our troubles, that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Now there's a mouthful there, and I could preach for a couple days. But I want you to look at what the great Apostle Paul said. He said, in verse 8, he said, we do not want you to be uninformed. Don't believe the lie, is what he was saying. Don't believe the lie, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced while we were in Asia. We were under great pressure, carrying a load, far beyond our ability to endure. So that we despaired of life itself. I thought I was dying. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Ever got that bad? Folks, the lie is it's all rosy. The lie is God won't put more on you than you can bear. The lie is it's all going to be a perfect little world once you trust Christ as your Savior. Paul said, I stressed. Paul said, I was burdened beyond what I could carry. Paul said, I was hurting so much I thought I was dying. I want you to look at that again and again and again and realize it's okay not to be okay. But it's not okay to stay that way. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. It is what it is, but it doesn't have to stay that way. And the answer is, we all carried some burden in here this morning. We all carried in our own backpack. We all carried in our own bunch of garbage. We all have something that we lie under. And it burdens us down. And you know what we've done? We set it down for a little bit during this service and forgot about it. And we've worshiped. And man, it feels good. It feels good while we're here. We forgot about it. We've placed it, you know, down beside us. And we just set it right there. And wow, I feel great. I'm worshiping. I'm doing good. This is great. But every one of us, as soon as this is over, we're going to go get our backpack back. Bless God, it's my backpack. My problem. Feel sorry for me. I've got this. And you know what you do? You take it right back through the parking lot. You take it right back to your car. And you take it right back home when you leave. I got this. I got it. There's an old song, and my grandma used to hum it. And it talks about pain and suffering and sinking in despair. And then the next part of it says, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. The problem is we take it and brought it in with us. We set it down, and we don't leave it there. Oh, I couldn't do that. That wouldn't be the right thing to do. I've got to fix this. I got it under control. Whoop, that's okay. Take it back home. I got this. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have the faith and the trust to believe that God can handle it and leave it here. That's the truth. That's the solid truth. We don't think God can handle what's in our backpack burden. We don't think God can take care of it because we're of the opinion it's not supposed to be this way anyhow, and I've got to fix this, and I got it. And there's some lessons to be learned at what Paul said, and he made it very clear. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves to carry this stupid thing around, but that we might rely on God. We're supposed to set it down and put it all in God's hands. Why? Because if He can raise someone from the dead, bless God, He can carry your backpack. That's what Paul said, point blank dot. That's, go read it for yourself. He said, we are not to rely on ourselves, but on God, because He raised Jesus from the dead. You self-reliance is not the answer. Elijah got depressed. Paul thought he was going to die right here in this scripture. He knew what depression was. He knew what stress was. He knew what the burden of this stupid backpack was. He knew what death was. He knew what divorce was. He knew what a pink slip. I don't know what it is you're carrying in your backpack, whether it's custody battles or finances or health or disease, but you're crushed. My back's been bothering me all week. You might know this would be the stupid illustration for this Sunday morning. But He knows what it is to be crushed under a heavy load. To wear a wet blanket. I remember as a kid, my grandma used to come in. And we lived in a little old country house. And we'd go stay sometimes in the wintertime. And the front two rooms had a pot-belly stove. It was the living room and the kitchen. The back two rooms was a bedroom and a washroom. They didn't have no water in there because the water would freeze. The heat was never on in those two rooms. They carried buckets to wash in those rooms. And in that back room at night, it got so cold in there, you could go and scratch your name in the ice on the windows. And she would come and heap cover upon cover upon cover upon cover. And they weren't covers of today, they were quilts. And then whenever she got done doing that, she'd size you up and come up to the edge of that and go get two or three bricks that she had had setting on that hot stove and put them on that blanket so our feet stayed warm at night. And I didn't feel like I was getting kept warm. I thought she was killing me by the blankets and going to smother me to death. And then she's throwing rocks at me. I mean, you think everything as a little kid. But the fact of the matter is, it was a heavy load. And you know what it is? That's the same feeling we have carrying our burdens around. We're crushed under the weight of those blankets. We're crushed under the weight of this burden that we carry. And wow, it's worse than we can imagine. But when God allows struggles, it's to show you, you can't rely on you. You can't rely on you to carry your burdens. You can't do it by yourself. You must rely on Him, because He is the God of all comfort. And it says, who comforts us in our troubles. He'll carry your bag for you if you'll leave it here. He'll carry it for you. He'll carry your bag. He'll pick it up and carry your bag. You don't have to carry whatever it is you're carrying, because He raised Jesus from the dead. And the power of the resurrection is it. And how is it that we can trust God for our eternal security, for heaven our home, but we can't trust Him on Monday and Tuesday? Now you tell me, how stupid is that? We can trust Him to get us to heaven when we die, but we can't trust Him with our backpack. How stupid is that? We've got to remember, our God is an awesome God. And He can take your load, and He can carry your load, if you'll remember who God is. God can help you. And here's another little caveat to that, and it's the one I usually use in that passage. So that we can comfort those in trouble with the same comfort that we received. That's what it says, if you go look at it, what we receive from God. You've been through a really hard divorce, comfort someone who's going through it with how God comforted you. You've been through some financial problems, comfort someone with how God comforted you. You've been through the death of a loved one, comfort someone with how God comforted you. You've been sexually abused, comfort someone that you know is going through that with the same comfort that you lost a mate. Comfort someone. We're supposed to take what God did for us and help someone else with it. That's what it says. And no, but you know what most Christians want to do? Well, if you hadn't done that and you didn't do this, you wouldn't be going through that. And we get our knife out and start cutting our ears off. And if you'd do this and if you'd do that, is that what God did to you? God picked up your backpack and said, here, let me have that for a while. You can't handle that yourself. You need to trust me. You can comfort with how God comforted you if you'll help some people carry their load. When God allows you to have something in your life you can't handle, it allows you to see who God really is and how powerful He is and how faithful He is. Because sometimes He's the only one that's got the ability to carry that backpack. You write this down and you put it somewhere where you can read it every day, because you will never know God is all you need until God is all you got. You will never know God is all you need until God's all you got. Ever been there? This week, maybe? We all have. If we'd be honest and quit being pious and take down our facade, we're probably there today. why don't you put your backpack down and leave it here? When you walk out of here today, say, God, I can't handle this. I'm done trying. Fact is, I've probably made a mess of it. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. If it gets fixed, you've got to deal with it. And if it don't, you've got to give me the grace to handle it. I need some mercy from that mercy tree to get through what I'm getting through. And you'll be amazed when you take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, what God can do. You could testify to that, couldn't you, Brandon? What happens when you leave it there and allow God to get control? He'll turn it to a miracle that you didn't have any inclination as to how it could work itself out. But as long as you're trying to carry the stinking thing around by yourself, I got this. I'll tell you what you're going to have is a sore back. Because you can't handle it on your own. I didn't say that. Paul said that. Self-reliance is not the answer. Let's stand.